Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dean of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. How are we doing today, Charlie?
We're doing good. I got off work at 8 o'clock. I grabbed a bite to eat, and we're ready to go.
Well, praise the Lord, you're here. Hey, before we start, that show that we did Tuesday with Elena Sanchez, you ready for this? It was the biggest show and had the biggest ratings that we've ever had. And 6 different countries tuned into the show.
Wow, good.
Yes. So we're going to invite her back very, very soon. And she has more testimonies and stuff that we'll actually be talking about, more experiences. But it was very good, and we had a very good response. So how about I open us in prayer today, Charlie?
Go right ahead.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would have your way. We ask that you would open the eyes, ears, and the hearts of the people listening. That people who will be listening, that people would get a hold of this, Lord, and they'd have a better understanding. And, Father, we just hand this radio show over to you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Charlie, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh, what it could be and what it might have been.
Right, so we're not trying to push what we think onto people, correct? We're trying to discern what the Word of God says about it, correct?
That's right. We're trying to take the Word, take the history of these things if we can find them, and talk about what we can discover.
Right. And so what we want to do is get people to dig into the Word for themselves, just like I did this afternoon. I actually found out a few things that I didn't really know. So, and I love learning. I don't know about you.
And you don't think I like learning. Okay. All right.
Oh, I know
that.
You do. I know you do. I know I get that response. Well, that's why I said that. All right. So, people listening, definitely go get a piece of paper, get your pens or your pencils, get your Bible out. If you don't follow along right now, write the scriptures down. This is something that you're going to want to study. And we're going to start today in 2 Corinthians. And my brother is going to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 10.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, not 1st. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10.
And yes, sir.
This is out of the King James, okay? It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, or three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen. There's a lot there, brother. There is a lot there.
Oh, you ain't kidding. There's a lot there.
Now, how about if I let you share what you get out of that, and then when you're done, I'll share what I've got or add what, you know, maybe I have something a little different or something like that. We'll tell two different views, or perhaps we both look at it the same way, but we'll get two different sides of what's being taught here.
Well, Paul, when he had this, he speaks of a man he knew 14 years ago. We know he was speaking of himself. And he was caught up into the paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Well, what that means is that he was caught up into a realm and dimension that he cannot speak in the language that he knew to explain what he saw and what he heard. It was beyond his wildest dreams or imaginations. And because of that, Paul explained that maybe he had a little issue with it, but he wanted to try to explain what he went through a little bit and explain where he was at. And it says he sent him a thorn in the flesh. Now, the thorn in the flesh, we're going to go through some scriptures that's got some meanings here that we'll get to. But the first appearance of a thorn in the flesh came from, let me find the scripture right quick, like, but it came from, give me a second, I'll find it. It came out of Judges chapter 2, 1 through 4. And there's a thing in what we call biblical hermeneutics, it's called biblical interpretation. One of the things is the law of first appearances. When it first appears in Scripture, is when you can begin to understand something about what's being talked about further down the line. There's many examples of that throughout all the Bible, but it has to do with the law of first appearances. Just like the word salvation didn't appear till Exodus when they were crossing the Red Sea. That's the first time the word salvation appeared in the Bible. In Judges, it says this, an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochan and said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I'm speaking to the children of Israel now, okay, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. What have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. So the Lord allowed these people to stay to just be an aggravation, a pure aggravation to the children of Israel, because number one, they had done something that they should not have done. And because of that, they were in a sense, breaking covenant with the Lord. They were disobeying him. And so he said, okay, fine. Because of this, I'm going to give you a thorn in your side, and they're going to pester you and aggravate you and torment you, and they're going to be a snare unto you. And when the children of Israel heard that, they said, oh my goodness, we have really messed up here. We need to get down and repent and pray. But the Lord left them there for a while. I'm not saying this was Paul's issue, that he was disobedient. The thing I'm bringing out of this is that there were people that were the thorn in the side. There were people that gave him a hard time. There were devils and people that gave Paul a hard time. And there were probably infirmities that Paul had that gave him a hard time. But this is the law of first appearances. It first showed up right here as a thorn in the side. They were people, and they were heathen. They worshiped their heathen gods, and that was the thing that tormented the children of Israel. And when Paul said a thorn in the flesh, it goes directly back through the concordance. You can trace it back. It goes right back to this account in Judges where there's a thorn in the side of the people. So that's just one thought on this. And I know there's going to be others, but that's good. We need to share the several thoughts on what was Paul's thorn in the side. This is just one.
Amen. Now, I have a different translation. I did this on purpose. I know you don't like going away from King James, but I went and did a different translation so that people would get perhaps a little bit better understanding what's being said. And I'm going to read from verses 7 down to 10. And so I'm going to pick it up here. It says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So I'm going to go back here. So what I saw out of this now, and it's just about what you said, brother, and everything like that. Paul's talking about a visitation. Now, he doesn't know whether it's in his body or if he's left his body or if it's in the, you know, the spirit. He doesn't know that. But he says he knows that he had a visitation to paradise up in the third heaven. So he's up in heaven. Would
yes,
you agree with me there, brother?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Paul is up in heaven. We don't know if it's a vision or if he was you know, spiritually taken there. We don't know that. Okay, so he's talking about an experience now. He's talking to the Corinthians here about an experience that he had 14 years prior. This isn't something that just happened now. This is something that happened 14 years ago. So, you know, he's experienced something pretty mighty here. At times, he wants to boast about this experience. You know, because let's be honest, we all have times where we want to say, well, hey, you know what I mean? So he's battling this. He chooses to boast instead about his weaknesses because, you know, I stopped right there. Why did he choose his weaknesses over talking about the experience? Any thoughts on that at all, John?
When he talks about his weaknesses, I looked up the Amplified while you were talking. That Amplified's got basically the same thing you said. He said, so Satan sent a message of Satan to torment me and harass me to keep me from exalting myself. Wow. And so he'd rather boast in his weaknesses rather than in his tremendous experience that he had. And it kind of keeps him humble.
There you go.
In my own life, I've known that there have been times in my life that maybe I would preach an excellent series of messages and all these people would give me accolades. Well, that can have a tendency in the old flesh nature to kind of puff us up a little bit. Well, usually there comes along somebody that tells me how bad it was. And I say, okay, fine. I hear that, Lord. Okay. don't get puffed up with yourself, Charlie.
Yeah. All right, so now we'll continue on. Now, so Satan comes with a thorn in Paul's flesh, and he comes to torment.
Yes.
Charlie, I've been in the deliverance side of ministry for many years. I've seen a lot of things. Every time I see the word torment, to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is demonic oppression.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I think of every single time when you say torment. I know that has something to do with some demonic thing is coming against something or somebody. It's coming against your mind. So I know that through experience. So I went and looked up the two words, messenger and torment, and I was a little bit surprised. Messenger is a person who carries a message or is employed to carry messages. So Satan sent somebody or something to go against Paul.
Yes, he did.
Satan's messenger. Now, the word torment, and I just told you what I thought it was for years, and I was right, but there's more to it. Torment is severe physical or mental suffering. So yes, we know that the mental suffering is demonic, but it could also be physical disease. I got you quiet on that one, brother.
Well, I know that it's, I know that's true. I know that's true. There's no question about that. It can be either one or both. I've known people that had physical infirmities, but they were also tormented in their mind.
Amen. Amen. So this could be both physical or mental, and it's both caused by a demonic messenger. All right, so now with that, let's turn over to 2 Timothy and read 9 to 15.
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy. Oh, goodness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 15. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, there you go. 2 Timothy 4, 9 to 15. Okay.
Yes, sir.
It says, personal concerns. I'm going to use the Amplified here. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved the pleasures of this present world, hath deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very helpful to me for the ministry. But Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. When you come back, when you come, bring the coat that I left at Troas and Scarpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, but that is no concern of mine, for the Lord will repay him according to his actions. Be on guard against him yourself, because he vigorously opposed our message.
Ooh, Charlie, we're starting to paint a little bit of a picture here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So would you say, perhaps, now I'm not saying this is it. I'm saying, is this a possibility that this thorn in Paul's side indeed is what you had said earlier, that perhaps it comes in the form of people coming against him? People leaving him, people going and trying to destroy what he's doing for Christ.
Well, he describes Alexander Coppersmith. He calls him by name. And he said he did me great harm. But Paul's attitude was that was no concern of mine, for the Lord will repay him. But Paul, but that man did Paul a lot of harm. And the biggest way that people do other people harm is by gossip, slander, backbiting, accusations, those kind of things. So we don't know what he did, but it seemed like he did a lot of damage to Paul, and Paul had to work to the place to where he could say, listen, that's no concern of mine, for the Lord will repay him. But that was a man, probably inspired or even controlled by demonic entities to attack Paul.
Amen. Amen. And if we go back to the word messenger, it says a person who. And if you go back and read here, he names him by name, like you said, and it's a person who. It matches right up with the messenger of Satan. That, to me, that was very interesting. I'm sure there are many people out there that say, oh, wow, but that was great revelation to me today when I saw this.
Yeah, because he called him by name. He said he did me great harm. And any of us who have been in ministry for any period of time, we've had people that did us harm. some out of ignorance, but some out of desire to hurt.
We get that a lot right on Facebook.
That's nothing new.
How many times have you been in church and you have like a revelation? And let's be honest here for a second. Now, and I'm not boasting on you or anything like that, but you know, you put some time in. You've done quite a bit of research. You've got a lot of hours into what you've done, and you've got these other people that will come up and oppose you because maybe you have a deeper revelation or a better understanding. Or heck, maybe you're even filled with the Holy Ghost and they're not, so you get better insight. And you'll go off on something that maybe that they're uncomfortable with, they have no idea, they're ignorant on, and they'll come up and they'll persecute you for this. And they'll try to bring you down, drag you through the grates, try to get you thrown out of church, make it so you can't teach anymore. I mean, have you experienced anything like that in your lifetime?
Yes.
I know your story, and you've experienced that many times in your life.
On more than one occasion. We got some terrible feedback. I had to deal with the situations as they came up. My first instinct, coming from the background that I came from, there's been a time or two that my first instinct was to get off in the flesh and deal with it. but the Lord helped me, and I was able to just walk away and let them continue to say whatever they're going to say while I was exiting wherever I was at. But no, we've had a few times like that. Yes.
Amen. You know, when you have a brother or a sister in Christ, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, Charlie. I know you find that hard to believe. I'm far from perfect. I've seen one or two things, you know, that you can still brush up on in your life. And we're never going to be perfect. But, you know, you have to allow a person, especially if they're going to be in like the fivefold ministry that gets into the Word, you have to at least research what they talk about before you're quick to just throw them out and say, you know what, I don't agree with that. Don't teach that, or, you know, you can no longer teach. You have to get into the Word and see for yourself.
You got to bring forth something of substance, and it's got to be, the foundation of it has to be the Word of God, and for the most part, the Word of God, because I've known people who have built doctrines off of one or two scriptures, and they weren't even related, but they built this whole doctrine off of it, and it was wrong.
It's right. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people do that today.
Yeah.
And we were going to read just in 2 Corinthians, we were going to read 7 to 10, but we decided to go back and go at the beginning, did we not?
Oh, yes, we did.
So that way people could get a clearer understanding of what's being talked about. You know, for a lot of you don't know, you know that Charlie talks a lot about the rapture, and I'm going to come right out and say it. He doesn't believe in a pre-rapture. He believes that you're going to go through tribulation. When I met Charlie a couple of years ago, I believed the same thing. I believed in a pre-trib, did I not, Charlie?
Yes, you did.
I believed that we were going to be pulled out of here. Charlie talked with me about it, and like he talked with numerous other pastors and stuff, I'm sure. But you know what I did, Charlie? I went in and I researched it for about 5 weeks. And I kept going through the Bible, going through scriptures. And I went to the Old Testament for types and shadows. I looked for the word rapture. I looked for everything that I could do to try to prove that Charlie was missing it. Charlie, what did I come back and tell you?
You came back and told me that you could not find the pre-tribulation rapture in scripture anywhere.
Did I look?
Oh, yes, you looked.
And you know what?
You looked.
He's right.
You looked, and you took your time looking, which was good.
And I came back, and you know what? Here's a man. Now, I've been born again for 39 years. I've been in the church most of my life. I've come up. I was brought up on that. But for the first time in my life, I actually researched everywhere and found out we were being told. I don't want to say, come right out and say we were being told. Well, it is a lie. I don't know if they were purposely saying that, but we were being told something that was wrong. And what does the Bible say about something that's wrong in Scripture or half-truth?
Mm-hmm.
it's false doctrine.
It leads people astray. It leads people astray, and it causes them to, you know, in many ways, to miss the blessings of God for their life.
Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, if you believe in the pre-trib and it doesn't happen, you're not going to heaven. We didn't say that. But you could be a little disappointed. And who knows? You could actually walk away from the faith. I mean, I think that's why that whole pre-trib rapture thing's been put in there now, is to get people to get discouraged and disgusted. And the Bible says that even the very elect in the last days will walk away. So I believe that that's just a ploy of the devil, to be honest with you. But so that's why we want to be in Scripture. And I picked Paul's thorn in the flesh because I heard a couple people talk about it lately. And I wanted to put some zest or some stir up the pot, I guess you could say, that they would go and research it for themselves. All right, how about if we turn over to Galatians chapter 4 and we'll read verses 13 through 15. Yes, sir.
Galatians 4:13-15. On the contrary, you know that it was because of a physical illness that I remained and preached the gospel to you the first time. And even though my physical condition was a trial for you, you did not regard it with contempt or scorn and reject me. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus himself. What then has become of that sense of blessing and the joy that you once had from your salvation and your relationship with Christ? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me to replace mine.
That's interesting there, brother.
Yes, it is.
That's very interesting. So,
because Paul said he had a physical infirmity there.
Yes, he did. Now, I was always taught through tradition, this is before I got in the word myself now, I was always taught that Paul was filled with Holy Ghost power, and he was. He would walk, and people would just touch his garments like they touched Jesus. Demons would flee out of them. People would get healed. That's in Scripture, is it not, my friend?
Yes, it is.
He'd lay hands on the people, they'd get healed. He would tell a demon to leave in Jesus' name, and they left. Yet, according to Scripture, he had physical illness.
Yeah.
That went against everything that I was taught. And so, to me, not only, because now we're seeing different possibilities of the thorn in Paul's flesh. Well, we know he comes against you with people and, you know, demonic activity. And now we're saying, hey, because I don't know about you, but there's a whole camp that talks about he had bad eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, that's impossible for him to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have bad eyesight. Well, Charlie, there's a possibility here, I think, according to Scripture, that he could have.
The possibility is staring us in the face. But again, we don't know for sure.
Right.
Okay? When we look at Scripture, we have to again go back to see what the Scripture had to say concerning that. The Greek words in there have a lot to say. And it appears like Paul had a problem with his eyes. He had some sort of physical condition. It was an infirmity to him. And when he says that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me, I can understand where they get the idea, you know, that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. Because they see, in another place it said, see how large your letters are right. Well, we don't know whether it was the length of the letter or the size. We don't know.
Amen.
What I mean by the size is how big he wrote. But big letters can also mean in length as well. But again, it says right there, he had a problem with his eyes. So he had physical infirmities.
So what he's talking about here to the Galatians is he's talking about that there we know at least one time that Paul had a physical ailment.
Yes, he did.
This was a man who had Holy Ghost power, and he had physical ailment. Now, a little sidetracked. Charlie, this is kind of good news. If you're called into the fivefold ministry, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're struggling with physical, perhaps physical ailments. You have maybe a sickness or a disease or something like that. If you have a sickness or disease and you've been called into the healing ministry, should you not do it because you have a sickness or disease?
No. You continue on with what the Lord has called you to do. I can remember one time I was down in Sarasota, Florida. I had actually moved back to Georgia and had lived in Sarasota, Florida. And I went down there. The people called me back and they said, listen, we want you to come back. We want you to come back for a week, hold meetings, that kind of thing. I got down there. The first night was very good. The next night was very good. And the third night, I had a fever of 102. The fourth night, I had a fever of 101. The fifth night, I had a fever of 101. But you know what? I prayed for people that were as sick as I was, and they got healed, and I was still sick. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So what I did all during the day was I rested and I slept and, I try to take care of myself and that kind of thing. And I had been to see I'm not ashamed of it. I'd been to see a physician and they gave me some medicine and I was taking but I still wasn't improving that much. But still, the Lord had set those meetings up and I could not cancel those meetings because I did not, quote, feel good.
Amen.
Because they'd already covered the expense for me to come down there and that kind of thing, and I said, "Well, I'll be there."
Did God still move?
Yes. Dean, during that time, the people that were there, there were times the Holy Spirit moved so powerfully that they would come up and they'd walk up to me and they'd say, "We need to pray for you." They'd lay hands on me and they'd fall out drunk in the Holy Ghost.
I love it.
And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, am I missing it here.
Oh, that's funny.
Here I was not feeling well at all. And these people just, they lay on the floor all over the place, laughing in the Holy Ghost. I mean, what are you going to do?
You know, God's amazing. I'm telling you, man. He is amazing. He wants to get people healed and delivered with his whole being. And he's shown that even if we aren't exactly, you know, on top of our game, he'll still work through us. And
yes,
so
he will.
This is for somebody out there listening now. You know, you're struggling. You know, there is a devil that comes against you. Maybe you have some kind of sickness or disease and you've been coming up with an excuse. Well, I can't do this because I can't even get it right in my life. You know what? You can go sow some seed. And if you're going out doing the Lord's work, the Bible says, and you're taking care of what he's called you to take care of, he'll take care of you. And, you know, sometimes we have to work through some things. And when you work through something, you're not always going to feel fantastic, but you got to battle through. And nobody knows that better than me, because last year I had to cancel a couple things, Charlie, did I not? Because of my physical ailments that were coming against me.
Yes, you did.
And this year we talked. And I decided, I'm pressing on for you, Lord. There are days I don't feel that good, but you know what? I've made a commitment. I have a calling, and I'm going to fulfill that calling in Christ Jesus.
That's what we have to do. And it's not that we don't. And there are times, again, where it's going to be a struggle, and we've got to call on our brothers and sisters to kind of fill in for us. So that's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that. But
right.
But we have to discern what the Lord wants. But anyway, by the time I left down there, I was totally and completely healed. The fever was gone. My strength came back. The last couple of meetings we had down there, they were pretty wild. I couldn't hardly preach for being tipsy. That may shake some people up. That may shake some people up, but I was tipsy.
All right, now let's turn over to Acts chapter 14 and read verses 19 through 20. I got this new Bible today. and the print is humongous. I'm like Paul with the eyes. And, man, I can sit down and look at it when I have my contacts in and stuff. So I wear contacts for people that don't know. I got my glasses on now. But, Charlie, I can actually see the words without my reading glasses. I love it.
Good.
Yeah, my wife made the comment, hey, I can see that from across the room.
Acts 14:19-20, right?
Yes, sir.
And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he is dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, there's that thorn in the flesh again. They stoned him.
There you go. Now, I've heard people say, and again, I'm just going by what Scripture says and what I've been told in my lifetime, that the Apostle Paul had some kind of disfigurement, and that's what he was talking about. He was disfigured somehow. Now, I don't know. Maybe he got stoned in the head, and that causes that. I don't know. But there was something there. But again, what we're telling you, there's a possibility that that thorn in the flesh could have happened from that stoning when he was stoned and left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
See, so what we're trying to do here, and of course, Brother Charlie knows what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do with the people listening right now, we're trying to say, instead of saying, no, it's this one way, this is the way I believe, and this is it, we want you to get into the Word and research it and see what the Word of God says. It is so important to get into the Word, to study the Word, and then as you get in, you study it, you'll develop different techniques. Because the way that Charlie studies and does his techniques, I guarantee you, are probably different in some of the ways that I do it. But Charlie, can we both still learn?
Yes.
Amen. And then what you do is we are a body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're not 130,000 different denominations like you see today. We're one body. And Charlie, is a pinky just as important as a hand in the body of Christ?
A pinky?
Yes.
Well, if you didn't have the pinky, the hand wouldn't work right.
There you go. There you go. So what I'm saying is everybody has something to do. So Charlie is a teacher. So he gets into history. He teaches you, and he proved that when he said the first time it happened was in Judges. So he teaches us how to go into the Word, and then you learn the Word through him teaching and studying history of everything. Where I tend to, as a pastor, I listen and go to the Word for what I hear the people or what the Holy Ghost tells me is needed at that time. So there's different parts of the body that the way that we do things. And that's, I believe, Charlie, is how the body of Christ is supposed to operate.
Well, there's been times I've done teachings that the Lord told me not to do.
Oh, no.
So I try to hear from the Spirit as well to be able to solidify something that would be a message to some people that the Lord had purposed to hear what was being said.
Amen.
Because if we don't do that, we may as well go out there and stand on the street corner and shout, because we're not going to accomplish anything. There has to be a goal, an objective, and a target. And if we can hear from the Lord, he will direct us to speak on certain things to help people grow.
Amen. Now, Charlie, when you sit down and you prepare something, how much time, like, just an estimate, because I know you don't know. Well, how much time, like, say when you do, like a Wednesday night study or something, how many hours would you say that you put into it, like, for a week?
Well, let's take this one we did last night, okay?
Okay.
With all the references and things about that, to be able to do it, I'm grateful that there are times that I have days off work and things like that where I can work on it. But I probably put, by the time I got it all typed up, printed everything, probably about 8 to 10 hours.
Right. So you invest a lot of time into that.
Yes.
You do a lot of research and all this stuff.
You want to make sure that when you present something, you're presenting it properly. You're not you're not just pulling something out of thin air. You've got to have the documentation for it to where if someone goes back and looks at it and double checks it, they will find what you have said to be in right order, as opposed to just pulling something out of thin air to try to make a doctrine fit, as opposed to sharing what the Word of God is to make the Word of God fit itself.
Amen. Amen. Now, so with me, I used to do the same thing, but I'm not a teacher. And what happens with me, this is exactly what I do. God is my witness. This is it. I sit down at my desk or place, and I'm quiet, and I listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll after doing that and praying a little bit, but mostly I'm just listening, I'll go to the Word. And the Holy Spirit will pull something up in my mind, and He'll direct me into the Word. So I'll go down and I'll write the scripture. And then I'll go, and the Holy Ghost will actually direct me in a path, and I'll write down everything in there, and then I'll go back and read what the Holy Spirit showed me. And Charlie, it takes me an hour tops to put together stuff, because the Holy Spirit is actually showing me in my head as we're going, and the Word is lining up with everything that He says.
But it is supposed to work that way. It's supposed to work that way. And basically for me, it's the same way. It starts off with the Lord talking to me about something. That's the way it starts. The Lord begins to talk to me about something, so that when it's presented to people, that they will hear what the Lord is saying, and it will minister to them and touch them, in their spirit man. And if we don't do that, then we've lost everything. Yes, sometimes I get into a great detail, and some people say, well, that gets boring. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a teacher. I can preach too. I can do the other side. I can preach too. And it doesn't go into as much serious detail as teaching, but it's like teaching math or anything like that. If you don't go into the details, you miss something. If you don't know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and to do it properly, you're not going to be able to, do the thing. And primarily, pastors and evangelists are called to inspire. A teacher's called to instruct.
Amen. Amen.
You know, a pastor can say, well, we need to get up here and we need to get into the high dimensions of God. And the teacher comes along and says, well, this is how you get there.
Amen. Amen. All right, so back to Acts chapter 14, 19 and 20. So the Jews stone Paul. They drag him out of the city, leaving him for dead. The believers gather around him. I can just picture the believers all looking down at him saying, oh, no, Paul's dead. He gets up. He brushes himself off. He gets up. They're looking at him like, wow, hey, he's not dead. Could this have been a thorn in Paul's flesh?
That would have been a thorn in anybody's flesh.
Yeah. So, but the good question is here. See, there's a possibility. Now, if you're being stoned, I'm going to say that they're not hitting you like with pebbles or small little rocks. There's probably some big rocks coming your way. And that's going to damage your body.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
If they left him for dead, I'm sure he just wasn't sitting there with no blood or no bruises or anything like that on him. I'm sure he probably looked like a mess.
I'm sure he did.
So, again, this could have been a disfigurement that perhaps Paul every once in a while would refer back to. I'm not saying it is, but when he was struck, he could have been wounded, and he could have had a physical issue or a problem from that time forward.
Well, I'm sure Paul remembers, because he was holding the coat of one of the Pharisees, and he was at the stoning of Stephen.
Amen. That's right.
He was standing right there watching Stephen get stoned. And
he was an accessory to murder. Yep.
He was accessory to murder. And then he went out and committed his own later. So he remembered. When that happened to him, he said, oh, this is what Stephen's endured.
You know, I love getting into the word, man. I just love this stuff. I just love it. This is what it's all about. It's fun. When you get into the word, you get like an excitement or an electricity inside of you. Good stuff. All right, so we got about 14 minutes left. Let's go to our last scripture, and that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 11.
Galatians 6:11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand.
So again, this is a possibility that his eyesight maybe wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be the length of the letter, or the length of the letters that he was writing to the churches.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We can't be sure.
We don't know. We know that there's been various applications of this, that either he was writing them, usually he dictated his letters, but he could have been writing them himself and used big writing or large letters, or there could have been something wrong with his vision. You know, it could have been either one or the both. We don't know. That's
right.
The truth of the matter. We don't know.
So that's where I stopped with Paul thorn in the flesh. So getting back to what we started with, everything that we've talked about, would you say, Charlie, that they all could be a thorn in the flesh?
They all could be. Yes, they can.
Perhaps he had all of them. We don't really know. So no matter what you or I may be going through, there's going to be a thorn in the flesh. Satan is going to send a messenger to sit down and torment us. And we've learned that torment is not just mental. It can be physical as well.
Yes, it can.
So if people are going through issues or anything like that, look at Paul. That was just a fraction of what that poor man went through. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was whipped. He was beat up. He was jailed. I mean, that man went through it all.
Yes, he did.
How does it say how the Apostle Paul died? I'm not sure. I think he was beheaded, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was beheaded. It doesn't tell us in Scripture. We learn that from history, that he was beheaded, and it was when he was in Jerusalem, and he preached to King Agrippa, and the people in Agrippa in Rome. They finally had him beheaded because they'd had enough of him. They just wanted to get rid of him.
Hmm.
That's why he wrote, you know, let me see if I can remember the scripture off the top of my head. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of life which no man can take her. And so he knew his departure was at hand. He knew the time of his leaving was near when he wrote that last letter.
So he pretty much knew that he had run his race.
Yeah, he pretty much knew. He said, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, as laid up me a crown of righteousness no man can take from me. He knew he had finished. He knew his time was ended.
You know, he writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and there's some good teaching and some good just good stuff in there. I would encourage people to get into the New Testament and really soak it up and start to study it, especially in an area perhaps that you're struggling in. I mean, Charlie, if somebody is seeking healing or they have their disease, what would you recommend that they would go and search the scriptures for?
I would search the scriptures and ask the Lord to show me, to lead me, to guide me into the healing scriptures. What are they? What does it mean? And there's no set formula for healing. If people would, years ago there was a book written by Catherine Kuhlman called I Believe in Miracles. And in there she documents healings of people. And she didn't just document them because they said it. She required of them to go back to the physicians and bring proof and documentation that their healing had taken place. So Amen. Healing is a part of who we are. And when I get sick, I pray the healing scriptures. And I ask the Lord if there's something in my life that needs to be corrected. I ask the Lord if there's something in my life I need to repent of. Is there somebody I need to go see? You know, so we cover all these bases, but you don't learn these things just by listening to somebody talking about healing, 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 healing all the time, and that you never get sick. No, in this flesh and body, Jesus ain't come back yet, and we ain't got a resurrected body. We don't have troubles.
Until we get that resurrected body, we're going to be fighting all the time.
You ain't kidding. We'll be fighting something.
Oh, man, you know, I just absolutely love the Word of God, man. I these pastors and these preachers and stuff that don't preach the Word, you want to give them a piece of my fivefold ministry, that's my big right hand there, and slap them upside the head and say, you know, what are you doing, son? Get into the Word. Signs and wonders follow the Word. They don't follow what we say. It follows the Word of God. If you just went there and read the Word, the Bible, things would happen. People would get healed. People would get saved. People would get delivered. People will come into the kingdom of God if you just strictly read the Word, period. I mean,
That's
there's
right.
something about the Word.
Well, when it's declared that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away, that's pretty profound.
Oh, it most certainly is. I mean, we serve an amazing God. I mean, he's just amazing. The study that we got into last night there, so that was good. I learned some stuff there. And, I appreciate your teachings, and I would encourage people to watch the teachings on Wednesday night. Charlie puts, like you said, he puts hours of research, and he gets into the Word, and he'll explain some things. You know, sometimes it gets a little lengthy, but he's going to make it so that you understand what's being talked about. And sometimes, you know, you can't just grab a manual and expect to rebuild a motor in a car. You have to spend some time and learn how to do it. And it takes time to learn. And so I encourage you to listen to the Wednesday night ones. They're very good. You've been a blessing, and I appreciate all that you do.
Well, I've told, I've mentioned it many, many times at various times when different pastors and ministers have asked me to come fill in for them and that kind of thing. I say, well, I'll come preach for you. I said, but when I get that, I said, I'm going to tell the congregation. I said, I may not be here to primarily inspire you. I'm here to instruct you. and they love the messages, you know, all the flowers and all the things like that and all the high flying. I can do that too. But most of the time, the Lord sends me in with a message to instruct. And oftentimes, we don't want to hear instruction.
Oh, gosh.
Really,
no.
I mean, we want all the goodies. I love people getting slain in the spirit. I love people laughing with joy. I love the new wine. That's well and good. But when we get up from there, we got to walk straight.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
All that's well and good. And boy, I tell you, there's times we desperately need it. We need that. There's been times in my life that I'm glad I was in a place where I got filled up with new wine and I could have cared less because I needed it. but we need the instruction too. We need all of it. We need
Amen.
The apostle. We need the apostle. We need the prophet. We need the evangelist. We need the pastor. We need the teacher.
Amen.
But
Amen.
The primary the three offices that I've worked in since I've been in the ministry is I've worked as an evangelist, as a pastor, and as a teacher.
Amen. Well, I bet you got some stories you could share sometime. Sometime we'll have to have you, we'll do a radio show and have you do your testimony.
It's pale compared to what we heard tonight.
Oh, yeah. Tuesdays was fantastic. She's got a lot more to go on, too. I think I invited her next Thursday again to do another show. I was going to discuss it with you, but you haven't invited me out to breakfast this week. So. But Thursday looks pretty good. What do you think about Thursday?
Well, that might be all right. We'll get together before then.
All right. All right. And so we got about 4 minutes left. You got anything else to add?
No, I just trust the Lord and pray that people will begin to listen to these broadcasts and that they will begin to call in and, you know, ask questions or make commentary. Because it's good to talk on scriptures, because a lot of times you and I have little different views on things. It's not that they're bad, it's just that they're different.
Right.
We perceive things a little bit differently, but we're all going in the same direction. We want to see Christ lifted up. We want to see people get saved. We want them baptized the Holy Ghost. We want to see them get healed. We want to see them get delivered. We want to get them set free. We want them walking on a path where they'll grow into maturity and that they will become real outspoken Christian believers in this day and age. That's the goal and objective of all of it, because it's not to exalt anybody, but it's that people would be touched by the Lord in all of this.
Amen. Amen. You know, you're talking about instruction and stuff. I got five people that I've got to talk with after we get off the radio show. They want to ask me questions on stuff and pray for people, which I love doing. But sometimes, like you said, if you don't tell them exactly what they want to hear, and you tell them, you know, maybe you instruct them a little bit, they tend to get a little mad at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll present them with scripture and what the word says, but, you know, it's not what they had planned. And people need to learn to, like you said, accept the instruction. And as long as it's backed up with the Word of God, and you go to God with it and stuff, you know, and allow Him to speak to you.
Don't worry me with the detail. Just give me what I want.
Yeah. Butter my biscuits, baby. Butter my biscuits. Give me my grits. Give me my grits.
I like my grits, man.
All right, well, we got about 2 minutes. Would you like to end us in prayer, my brother?
Yes, I can do that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those who will at some point listen to these programs. The Lord, they'll pick it up off of the website. And that, Lord, you'll touch their hearts, that you minister to them. That you'll let them see that when Dean and I are together, we laugh and we joke, and but we're serious about the word. And the Lord, that they'll receive something from it. It'll go into their spirit, and it will bring them substance and life. And Lord, we pray for those that will hear, Lord, that you will reach out your hand to minister to them. Lord, cause them to turn their heart to you, to be saved, to be born again. Lord, those that need it, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Those that need deliverance, Lord, will be set free. Those that need healing will be touched by your hand. And Lord, we'll thank you for these things. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so blog just told me we had 90 seconds left. Hey, join us tomorrow night on the Hour of Power. We are going to be talking about healing. Yes, healing. We just sent out a second batch of healing cloths. Brother Charlie, we need to have you come over and lay hands, or have me bring them over and lay hands on the next batch I'm going to send out. And we would love to send you a free prayer cloth. It doesn't cost anything. I mail them out. I do all the shipping and stuff. I pay for personally. And we've had some pretty good praise reports on the ones that have gone out now. I'll list them on our webpage. And so tune in tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on Facebook. And we're going to be talking on healing, different ways that you can manifest healing in your life. Like Charlie said, there are many ways to receive healing. And I want people that need healing to call in, or to write in, or to comment in. And if you need prayer cloths, we'll send you out prayer cloths. And I usually get them out by the beginning of the following week. And let's get people healed so that they can get in, do what God's called them to do.
Amen.
So, Charlie, another show gone by the boots here. We'll be back Tuesday. We love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless
you. Amen.